What matters this weekend? Jesus. It's that we come to Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I hope you all this weekend are feeling some relief.
Amen.
Enjoying the Jubilee.
Amen.
I feel that as each meeting goes on, we're really going higher and higher. Seeing more and more of what the Lord is to us and His desire that we wouldn't be enslaved, but daily, even moment by moment, would be fully released. But this time is only a few days, right? If you think about it, as the brother said yesterday, it's really only a little over 48 hours. Actually, it's less than 48 hours. How high can we get in less than 48 hours? Well, we can get pretty high. The Lord can reveal a lot to us. But 48 hours is not that much time. How about if we had a whole week? If the Lord could take us higher day by day for an entire week for us to go deeper and deeper into His heart to enjoy Him more and more. Well, as many of you have figured out already, there is such a thing. It's known as the college training. And we have this, it's a week-long gathering for those who desire to be fully released by the Lord. Those who desire to enjoy the Lord as the Jubilee. We have this every summer. And this year, we're having it all together. Typically, there are three. Across the nation, there are three different ones. One here in the West Coast, one in the Midwest, and one on the East Coast. But this year, we're coming all together. Imagine over 1,000 students coming together to be fully released, to allow the Lord to take us higher day by day, meeting by meeting, fellowship by fellowship. Hallelujah. On your chairs, you've all received these little postcard pamphlet things. We've given you two purposely. Both are not for you. Our desire, well, the reason we gave you two is so that you can pass out one, or you can pass out both to your friends. Those who have a heart for the Lord, those who would really enjoy this time. A week long of eating, drinking, and breathing Jesus. If you're curious for more information, you can check on the website, collegetraining.org, or you can ask some others around you. Sure, yeah, okay. I think it will be the latter. Yeah? It'll be a big auditorium. Yeah. So it'll be a combination of large gatherings with speaking, I think. And then there will also be a number of different breaking up into groups to fellowship in a more specific way. So it'll be a good combination of a larger setting as well as smaller group times. Yeah. Does that answer your question? Okay. Okay. Well, talk to someone at your campus, and they can answer your questions a little bit more in depth. So I hope you all would really relish the enjoyment of this weekend, and even this would cause you to consider to give yourself to the Lord for a whole week this summer. Hallelujah. Okay? So with that being said, we'll just have a short fellowship time this afternoon. Nothing too formal. My name is Evan. I'm serving full-time at USC. This is Nathan. He's serving full-time also at Long Beach. And the two of us would just like to share with you a little bit along a particular line. And we'll also have a number of testimonies to really, really impress you with what we'd like to bring up today. Thank you. To start, I'd like to bring you all back to your freshman year. Everyone here is in college, right? The very beginning of your freshman year. The very beginning. For some of you, it was years ago. For some of you, it was weeks ago. But either way, everyone here has had a very beginning of their freshman year. So this fellowship is relevant for all of you. Now, when considering college, many view this as a time, this is the time of my life, right? Everyone is free to pursue their dreams. You can do whatever you want to do. You can be whoever you want to be, right? College is a very special time, and it's a time that we go into. In high school, we look forward to, and we go into it with big aspirations, a lot of excitement. I'm going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a wonderful time. I will learn a lot. I will advance my career. I will reach my dreams, right? College is definitely such a place. Now, I'd like to take you back to the very beginning of your freshman year. Consider the transition, okay? You've said your goodbyes, some longer than others, to your high school friends. You've moved in to your dorm or to your apartment, wherever you live, and you're ready. You're ready for a new beginning. You're ready for a fresh start. You are eagerly awaiting what's in store for you once school starts. Have you all had this experience? Yeah? Do you all remember this? I still remember my freshman year very vividly. It was not quite as recent as you all, but I still remember it very, very vividly, the very beginning. I was full of hope, full of anticipation. I thought I was a man, you know? I got into USC, which is a school that I really wanted to go to, and I felt that I had the world at my fingertips. Now, what awaited me? I'd like to share with you what awaited me those first few weeks of school. Going into it with so much anticipation, so much excitement, what awaited me actually was not what I expected. And I'm willing to bet that many of you all had a similar experience. What awaited me was actually loneliness, feeling out of place, feeling like I didn't belong. I still remember I followed some people. They were, you know, going to a party, and I remember standing outside, you know, hadn't gone in yet, and I felt so uncomfortable. I was there thinking, you know, what am I doing? Where you know, are these the people that I want to spend time with? I don't even know these people. So actually, I left. I went home because I was so uncomfortable. What did I do at home? I probably did nothing. I don't know, you know. I mean, I feel like many have the experience where we're so excited, you get there. Kind of boring, actually. Maybe not too much to do. I feel that this experience is really not unique to me. I'm sure that many of you have also had this experience. And I know for a fact that many more freshmen, incoming freshmen, as they make that transition from high school, maybe some were the man in high school, big man on campus, get to college to nobody. This experience is really quite common. Now, for such a person in this such a situation, what does such a person need? To enjoy the Lord. Amen. Jesus! Well, that's true. That's true. But deeper than that, what such a person really needs is just a friend. What they need is just a friend. Someone who will care for them. Someone who genuinely has an interest in them. Someone they like spending time with. Someone they like hanging out with. I can tell you that was what I lacked. In such a situation, what a person needs is really a friend. Now, of course, what every man, deep down, what every man needs is the Lord. Of course, every man was made as a vessel to contain God. And without God, we're just an empty vessel. But that's not the point of this fellowship. The point of this fellowship this afternoon is to show that this situation, this need, is very common, especially here in college. It's very common. The need is for a friend. And that is even the way that the Lord came to us. That's the way the Lord came to us. And we'll have more fellowship on this briefly. But the topic for the fellowship this afternoon is being a friend for the gospel. Being a friend for the gospel. So I'd like to call up some testimonies. We'll have some testimonies of really ones who had this experience. Either they felt alone or they had very close friends. And it was through their friends that the Lord had a way to reach them. Had somebody come to them with the Bible, preaching the gospel to them? Not interested. But because it was their friend, but because they had this close human relationship with them, the Lord had a way to come in. Hallelujah. So why don't we call up first Mai and Daniel and Jim. Can you come up, please?
Let us introduce ourselves. So my name is Mai. I'm from Cal State Long Beach. I'm a freshman. And he's...
I'm Daniel from Cal State Long Beach as well.
My name is Jim, and I'm a student at Cal State Long Beach.
Yeah. So here's my brother. Yeah, we hang out pretty much every day and on campus. So I would like to have a little story about our fraternity that I would like to share with everybody here. So as soon as my high school years so over, I thought, well, this is gonna be my fresh start in college. I'm gonna hang out with cool people and be, you know, be a cool guy. But it is quite hard to like break out of the traditions kind of, because I was so quiet and be like a good student, sort of like a good student back in high school. So when I stepped into college, it was like it is so hard to make friends with people in class, because we go to college because we have our own goals. We focus on classes, and it's not much of a distraction between during the lectures. So as soon as the period's over, everybody just leave. It's so hard to catch a conversation with people. So that is why for the first couple weeks I couldn't find any friends to hang out around. As soon as my class is over, I'm off home. So and then there's one event that started, got me into the club that is called Christian on Campus, which is there's that one day I was walking toward my car, and I met Charo. Charo, he was just walking past me. So normally if you pass by a stranger, you just stare, just look at them and just look away as soon as it's for a second. But I don't know why, but I was staring at him for 4 seconds. I don't know, 4 or 5 seconds. And he was actually looking at me too. And then, it's this for 5 seconds. So, and then all of a sudden he stopped and he say, "Hey, do I know you?" I was like, "Oh, I'm just looking at you." On that day he was dressed up, so I thought he was a professor. So I was like, networking, let's do it. So I introduced myself, and we got to know each other, and then we just stood there for 20 minutes just talking. And he asked me my interests, and he asked me if I believe in God and Jesus. So I said yes. Yeah, my family is a church tradition, so we go to church. But what I was really to be honest, when I first stepped into college, I wasn't really thinking that I was pursue my dreams, to be with God and that, because I was by myself and I have no encouragement to do that. So by that, he introduced me to the Christian on Campus Club. So first in my thought in my head, I was like, why not? Let's give it a try. So it was the day before the freshman connect. So the day after, I went to the event. I started to meet the brothers, like Jim right here, and Daniel, and more brothers, sister from the club. So yeah, that after that day, I had so much fun and you know, like bonding time with the brothers. So I wanted to, like, you know, come back and you know, hang out, spend more time with them. So I started to, like, passing by the hallway in our school. It's student union. So that is where most of them hang out. So I started to, like, you know, hanging out, spend more time with them. And to be honest, yes, in my opinion, it is fraternities, the fellowship, the brotherhood is what keeping me believe in God, is what keeping me going, is what keeping my spirits stirring on me, in me, like every single day. So I just love, like, spending time with a brother. You know, even though we just met for like 2 months, but for the past 2 months, my life's changed like dramatically. So it's like I know a lot of people in school now, like within the clubs. Actually, I wouldn't have moved in with a couple of brothers if I did not go to a club meetings, because I got to know a person that he's a graduate. He's no longer in school. So but through the clubs I got to know him, and I know that he's looking for a roommate. So I just, you know, but it's just an opportunity for me to spend more time with the brothers. Yeah, to, you know, to be with the, like, fellowship. So that's why I decided to move in. So that's where I am right now. Amen. So, yeah, this is my position. So I would like to, yeah, have Jim's experience.
Well, my experience with Mai is I first met Mai during the Freshman Connect. And we were in a group known as Tiger Time.
Target
time, and we were just doing various activities, you know, just hanging out, just, you know, catch the bacon or something. And I remember one of the first things that Mai said when we introduced ourselves was, "So, how's college? What's college all about?" And speaking from an upperclassman, talking to a younger classman, you begin to sense, you know, where they're at. As a freshman, you're in an environment where you don't know where normal is. You don't know if you have friends. You don't know where classes are at. You don't know who your professors are at or how to be classes or whatever. So I felt really burdened just to, you know, help answer some of the practical questions on how college life is all about. You know, and as you know, we just invited Mai in a lot of the things that we were doing. We invite him to eat. We love to eat, brothers. We love to eat. So I remember a couple of brothers. We just went out and ate a whole bunch of Korean barbecue.
Korean barbecue.
And Mai would testify that this was one of his highlights. You know, and we were just doing normal human things, just inviting him, come eat with us, you know, come work out with us, and just being with one another. You know, we just taking care of each other humanly. Yet, on the other aspect, we began inviting him to the Bible studies. You know, just, hey, you know, since you're eating, let's have a little Bible study. You know, physically eating, yeah, at the same time, spiritually eating. And I realized it goes really smoothly. And as time goes on, as you're spending time with this, you know, with Mai right here, his name is beginning to be written in your heart. You know, there are times when you don't see him, you begin thinking about him. How's Mai doing? Lord, what about Mai? Is Mai doing, is he spiritually fed? You know, just you begin just praying for such ones, and it's not an effort, but it's spontaneous out of just a genuine love for one another. So this is just my encouragement, and our encouragement to be your experience when you're taking care of new ones. And Daniel, do you want to add something?
Yeah. I'd just say, like, you just become friends with someone. That's basically it. The first time I met Mai was at the Freshman Connect. We saw each other, we exchanged numbers and stuff. And then, like, later on, I was just like, I forgot exactly how it was, but he was like, I saw you working out in the mornings, and I'm also working out in the mornings. So we just started working out together. So a lot of it is just, like, spending time doing, like, regular things, things that friends do, you know? And then as more and more you spend time together, the more normal it becomes when you go to the fellowship night, when you see your friends praising the Lord, releasing their spirit. It becomes normal to release your spirit, right? Anyway, that's just a short encouragement. Just be friends with someone.
Thank you, brothers. So I just want to highlight a couple of things that they shared. One, Mai, you know, he went to college, but he wasn't just looking for the purpose and meaning of his human life, but he was also looking for friends. And, you know, the whole reason he came to the Freshman Connect because he wanted to get to know some friends, right? And then earlier also, Mai shared with us that as he began to be with the brothers, hanging out, the more time he spent with them, then when he went to the fellowship on Thursday night, and the brothers were singing and praising the Lord and enjoying, he didn't come from that kind of background, but he saw them singing and enjoying, and he's like, wow, I better sing and enjoy. And so that was really sweet. I know he didn't quite bring that out. But there's so many needs we have on a human level that get taken care of by the brothers and sisters. Just being with them. That takes care of us physically, mentally, and spiritually. And so this is, the Lord really wants to be our friend, and He wants us to be a friend to others. So maybe we can have another testimony, Briella and Eileen.
My name's Briella, also from California.
And I just wanted to share my experience with coming into the club.
Okay. Closer.
So I'm a junior now. This is my third year, and I came to Cal State Long Beach when I was a freshman. I didn't know anybody. I had no friends. I found the club through the table, and I decided to go to the Bible study one day. It was just random. I was like, oh, I'll check it out, you know, whatever. Because, like, we're all looking to make friends in college. Like, we don't want to be alone. Mm-hmm. And we want to find friends that have the same morals and values as we do. Like, it's so easy to get caught up in the wrong crowd. And, like, I knew that I didn't want to do that. So I went to the Bible study, and, yeah, it was good. I honestly don't really remember that well, but it was a long time ago. But I remember liking it, and everyone was really nice. And then I met Briella there. I don't remember the first interaction we had, so that's bad for the story. But what I do remember is that right after the Bible study, there was an event at our school, the Week of Welcome, which is just where, like, clubs, they all have a table, and they try to recruit you to join their club, and there's, like, free food. So it's a big deal. Everybody loved it. And so we went, like, me, Briella, and a couple of the other sisters, we just walked around. You know, we got to know each other's interests because we, like, saw, like, oh, she wants to join this club, I want to join this club, and we just talked and had, you know, casual encounters. And at the time, when I first came to Long Beach, I was living in the dorm. I also didn't know anybody in the dorms, and I didn't have a car, which is, like, a big deal, at least in Long Beach, I don't know. But then over time, like, I started going to the meetings more often and talking to sisters, especially Briella, and she would always be willing to pick me up and, like, take me places. We would go get coffee, get food, and just do, like, normal friend things. And we would also obviously go to, like, meetings and stuff. But it's just so important to also just have, like, regular friendship time. And that's, like, truly been my experience. And it's just so Briella really took care of me. And, like, so I found a home in Long Beach. And then, so, yeah, we've just had a lot of good experiences together. Last semester we read a book, A Simple Way to Touch the Lord, just one of those small little pamphlets. And so that we met and we just talked about, like, you know, what's going on in our life, how are we doing? And then after we talked about that and we had, you know, our regular conversation, then we read this book and then we came together in the Lord. And then so we just combined those experiences, which was so important. Mm-hmm. And then now this year we started a Bible school. Well, we didn't start it, but there's in our Bible study group, me and Brilla, I think, are the oldest. We're the only upperclassmen. And most of the ones in there are freshmen. They're new. They're just checking out the club. Maybe they don't really know what it's about. But through my experience, I've just been burdened to care for them and not just to get to know them outside of Bible study. You know, it's not just about meeting once a week and reading a passage. But we try to, you know, have events. Like, we go out to eat afterwards. A couple weeks ago, we went to a pumpkin patch. And we've just been really burdened to care. And then so that's just been my experience. And I think Briella has a little bit to share about that, too.
Yeah. Well, I love Eileen. We not only do we have, like, a human relationship built up since our freshman year and now we're third year, but we also have a foundation in Christ, right? We both first initially came to the Bible study, and then we knew, like, we're both Christian, and then went to the week of welcome together, which is something all the students do, so it was something fun, and I got to know her a little more, and she got to know me. So just these little human interactions are so important, I feel like, and it really opened us both up to each other to even further our relationship and eventually pray and read something together. But before this, I have a verse, John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So I was just reminded of this message a brother gave on having a heart for man and how when we're dealing with the other members of the body. Eileen is a member of the body, and I didn't even know it. We're both believers, and we came into the club together. But she's another member, so I have to love her, you know, because it's not out of our own love, but it's through the love of the Lord. And I also realized the more time we spent together, like the other brothers were sharing, the more she was written on my heart. And even when she was going through something or when there was something she shared about her personal life with me, I would just go to the Lord and pray about it because all of the experiences she was going through, I was going through in a sense because we were built up together. So anyways, I've just really enjoyed this time together and look forward to our companionship.
I really enjoy that, how she says anything that she was going through, she also went through, you know, because she cared for her and she loved her. And the relationship was in the Lord, but also had a human level where they could care for one another. And sometimes, you know, even as humans that we are, we go through hardships. And, you know, there's one in us that is full of grace. He's sympathetic to our problems and he's sensitive to all our griefs. And we can also get that with others when they're our friends. They can be sympathetic with us and bring us to the Lord and be sensitive to our griefs. So maybe we can have Melanie and Alexis. I'm looking forward to hearing Melanie and Alexis. Sorry for a little.
Amen. So I'm Melanie. I'm a third year at OCC.
I'm Alexis, and I am a third year at Cal State Fullerton.
So we have been best friends for 5 years since our sophomore year in high school. And when we met through choir and stuff, but when I met Alexis, she was actually an atheist. And I didn't have, like, a secret agenda when I met her or something, but through being together and through our conversations, I realized that she was really seeking the Lord. And so over time, I think just, you know, being best friends, whatever, but I just really developed a burden for her. And during our junior year, I invited her to a home meeting.
Okay, so I went to this home meeting because it was time with my best friend, really. She was like, yeah, it's really exciting. You get to sing, you get to do all these things. There's other people who are our age. I was like, oh, that's fine. So I went to the first home meeting, and I was a bit astonished. Coming from a Catholic background, I was not used to people openly praying. I wasn't used to someone saying amen to everything. I thought it was weird, but I was like, hey, she's into it. She's my best friend. I'll be with her, you know. And then they brought out the food. Oh, Lord Jesus, that food is what kept me coming to this meeting. It's not just the brothers who like eating. Sisters like eating, too. Okay. All right. So really quickly, this became a weekly tradition for us. We went to our dumpling night every Friday night, and I, like, put everything aside. Like, we're going to get dumplings, and I was really, really excited. But I didn't go for God. I didn't go for the Lord. I didn't go for any of the fellowship that we had. But we would sing, and we'd always pray, and something would touch me. I didn't understand. I was like, that's a weird feeling. It was interesting, you know. But then, I mean, little did I know that it was the Lord changing my heart. During our senior year is when we really hit some really tough times together. One day she would have a rough day, then I'd have a rough day, and just every day it was like we had to come together to be one. And it's what really cemented our friendship together.
One night, we were driving back from a home meeting, and I was dropping her off, and we were in her driveway, and she was just telling me some, you know, the things that she was going through, and it was, like, a really rough time for her, and knowing where she was at and knowing her background, it really opened the way for me to ask her if she wanted to get saved, and I feel like without that, I think it would have been difficult for her case, but anyway, she received the Lord that night, and it was awesome.
Amen. In her car, it took so long, right? Junior year and senior year, like almost a year and a half of me going to meetings and me understanding, just getting tidbits of what the Lord truly is, you know. And from that point on, I started to really open up more. And because I said, "Oh Lord Jesus, like I believe in you," like I feel like my whole life really started to change for the better. And without Melanie, like, none of this would have happened. And she's the one person that I can talk to. I mean, from then to now, like, no matter what I am going through, she is my best friend, you know. And thank the Lord, like, we've continued on through college together. Like, we've gone to meetings, we've gone to conferences, like, and I didn't even meet with Fullerton. I was meeting with OCC with her, and this is my first year meeting with Fullerton, and I'm really excited about that. And just really, like, my foundation in the Lord is with her, but, like, she helped me grow on my own in the Lord. She helped me, like, push me to be who I really am going to be today, you know. And honestly, like, I thank God because I not only gained my best friend, I gained a sister.
How about that? I think we can just end the meeting now. A few things that really stood out to me from that testimony. Firstly, Melanie mentioned that she had no agenda. She just wanted to be friends, right? And even though she invited Alexis to come, it wasn't the truth that kept her. It wasn't the singing. Definitely wasn't the amen. But it was her best friend. It was that bond, that human care, that human relationship that they had that really caused Alexis, who was from a Catholic background, actually she was an atheist at that time. Before, when we were talking to her, I asked her, if it had not been for your friendship with Melanie, would you have been open to the Lord? Her immediate answer, oh, no way. No way. No way. So Melanie had a heart for her friend, but no agenda. She just cared for her. They just did normal things together. And when the time was right, when the Lord operated in their situation, it was time for her to receive Him. And now they're going on together in the Lord. What a change. She said her whole life has changed. But it started with this friendship. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, what does it mean to be a friend? Well, I think one of the key things is a genuine care. A genuine care. A lot of times, we have a lot of acquaintances. We know who they are. But we don't really sense that they care for us. Maybe at the same time, we have a lot of acquaintances. We don't really care for them. But what is it to be a friend? It's to have a genuine care for someone. It's a relationship that's not based on questions like, are you coming to the Bible study? It's not based on questions like, are you coming to the meeting? Have you been reading the Bible? Not saying that we shouldn't ask those questions, but the relationship is not based upon these questions. It's based on questions like, how are you doing? Everything all right? Want to hang out? Want to get Korean barbecue? Right? That's what a friendship is. With our friends, we feel happy. When we're with our friends, we feel happy. We feel comfortable. We feel loved. We feel cared for. We feel like we can talk to them about anything. I think that's the key, especially to this testimony, and even the first two. They felt comfortable to open up and share how they were feeling. And that openness is also what caused the Lord to be able to come in. Why do we need friends? Well, we need to be cared for. Don't you all like it when someone cares for you? Right? Nobody wants to be alone. And I just love that from all of these testimonies we see that really the heart of the ones who cared for the other ones was just to care for them. Their heart was just to care for them. Just to be with them. To get to know them. Right? To just get to know them. Oftentimes, the Lord will place someone on our heart. Right? Maybe a classmate. Maybe an old friend. He'll place them in your heart. Care for this one. You just have an inexplicable desire to care for this one. And you know it's from the Lord. Oftentimes, our first reaction, well, this is from the Lord, so I guess I should just get them to read the Bible with me. Bring them to all the meetings. Let's have an appointment once a week at the same time for the entire semester. Well, you know, we're not all like this, but many times when we sense something is from the Lord, this may be the immediate reaction. Well, I hope that through this fellowship time, the impression left on you all is that when the Lord writes someone on our hearts, really, what that means is just to be their friend. Really, what that person's need is maybe just to be a friend. We should be sensitive to the Lord, related to all the people that we know, and we should also be sensitive to the needs of these ones. This one, right now, they don't really feel like reading the Bible. How about we just go? Actually, I did this once. I was with a brother. We were having an appointment. It is an appointment. The purpose is to read the Bible. He was having a tough day. I said, how about we just go get milkshakes? So we went and we got milkshakes. Didn't really talk about the Lord. I shared with him a little bit about my life. And we had milkshakes. He had a great time, you know. But I felt through that, you know. We got more of the Lord in a very indirect way, you know. And I felt, you know, really, through this experience, through this time we spent together, this brother is more my friend. Not just the one I'm having Bible studies with, but this one is more my friend. Well, at the same time, let's not take this fellowship and go to the opposite extreme and just say, well, let's just be friends, man. Yeah, bro. You know, let's just be friends. How about we just hang out? We'll just, you know, go to the movies. We'll just play sports. Let's just, you know, no need to talk about the Lord. No, don't worry about that. The topic this afternoon is not just being a friend, but it's being a friend for the gospel. The purpose in this kind of a friend, well, any friendship, really, I hope that in all of our friendships, something of the gospel could come in. Something of the good news. Something of the enjoyment of Christ could be there. In these testimonies, you see that there is a real, genuine friendship, but also there is the mutual enjoyment of the Lord. Well, oftentimes, the progression of such a relationship starts not with the enjoyment of the Lord, but it starts with the human care and the human friendship. And we really see that it was the Lord is even our pattern. The Lord took the same way. He didn't come to us as the God of glory, but He came to us as a very approachable, caring, sensitive, intimate loving friend. That's how the Lord came to us. And that's why we were open to receive Him. And that's why we fell in love with Him. So Nathan will give us a little bit more fellowship.
So I hope we see the need. You know, the need of the ones that are around us. We're all surrounded by people. You know, you walk on campus, people everywhere. Go to Starbucks, there's people. Trader Joe's, there's people. You know, we're surrounded by people. And what is their need? Well, their need is the Lord, and their need is for someone to come and sympathize with them, to have compassion on them, to love them, to care for them. This is the need of people. And who do you see this in? Well, you see this in the pattern of the Lord Jesus Himself. He was this kind of person, right? He came to us not as the God of glory, but He came to us on a very human level. We can say that He had His divine attributes expressed in His very, very human virtues, right? Virtues of, like I said before, sympathy, compassion, love, and care. And so I just want to tell you a little story. We got a few minutes. A little story about the Lord. You want to hear a story? Okay. Well, there's a little story that the Lord told Himself. You know, the Lord, He was called a friend of sinners. He dined with tax collectors and sinners, right? He ate and drank with them. Can you believe it? The Lord did. And He told a story about there was a certain man journeying, right, from Jerusalem down to Jericho, right, downward. He wasn't going up. His life was going down. And along the way, he fell on some robbers. They stripped him, and they beat him, and they left him for half dead, right? And this could be the ones around us, right? You could say we're being beaten by a lot of things. You could say we're being beaten by religion. You could be beaten by your situation, your family environment, your classes, or just maybe you're bothered by some kind of sin that you have within that you can't get through. We're constantly bombarded by certain things that beat us down, and we're left for half dead. And you know what? The priest comes by. Praise the Lord. The priest knows the Bible. Priest comes by and they just walk by, right? Or drive by, you know. I was driving by on the way to campus one day, and this brother was on the side of the road, and I just, oh man, something bothered me. Are you going to just drive by while he's walking to school way far away, you know? Oh, so I turned around, picked him up. Why, we can't just stand around and walk by when someone's having a hard time. I mean, that's an illustration, but, you know, the Lord, He wants to show compassion on these kind of people. He doesn't want to be like the priest that just can easily walk by. Well, somebody will take care of it. Oh, they'll get the help. Oh, they'll find someone to listen to them. You know, this is the Lord's heart. Compassion, love, care. And so eventually, you know, you have the Good Samaritan come. And he gets intimate. The Good Samaritan, he gets intimate with him. Right? What does he do? Picks him up, right? He picks him up. Picks him up. Oh. Oh. Right. And he puts him on his own beast, right? His donkey. That's intimate. You can't pick someone up with a stick, you know. Oh, you having a hard time? Okay, all right. I'll see you later. All right, you know. You got to get in there. How you doing? Oh, I'm sorry to hear about that. Right, that's intimate. And then he binds up his wounds, also very intimate, pours oil and wine, and brings him to the inn. You're heavy. So of course, the Lord, for sure, the Lord is the Good Samaritan. He is this kind of person, right? But we need to take Him as our pattern and have His heart. And so this is what we're talking about. I appreciate all the testimonies. And at the end of the story, the Lord tells us, go and do likewise. You know, and maybe we can't, maybe hopefully with whatever capacity we have to care for others, we can get the Lord's care, the Lord's heart, be open to Him, to pray for others that touch us, open to visit others, to invite them to go eat, Invite them to go work out. Invite them to shop, you know, sisters. Yeah, sisters love to eat too. But I hope this can be on our hearts so that we can really care for people on a human level and a divine level. So let's have a little prayer with the ones around us. And just consider, maybe you have some that are on your heart. Maybe they're your friends, maybe they're not. But this, the Lord has touched you in the past. And we can just pray. We can lift their names up to Him. Maybe the Lord would do something in their lives. And maybe the Lord would give us a way to be this to others. So let's pray with the ones next to us.